Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service.
Think about it. When you get to heaven and you see all the beauty and all the splendor, and I think the thing that I'm looking forward to most of all is peace. Peace. No problems. No, nothing to happen to cause you anguish. I got a leak in my basement. The water had eroded around the edge of my house on the backside, and I didn't notice it. And then we got all the big rains in April, and that went down the wall of my foundation and come up in the unfinished portion of my basement. Ooh, stink. Oh, terrible. And for about 3 weeks, we've been running fans in my basement, getting it all dried out. And it come the rains again. I had repaired everything, I thought. And all come this rain again. I didn't get any more water, but I tell you, I was a nervous wreck. I didn't want any more of that stuff. But when I get to heaven, my house won't have any leaks, Dennis. My house won't have any problems. I won't have to pay an electric bill. I don't have to pay the city a big wad of money for taxes. I don't have to pay a big wad of money for insurance because I have Holy Ghost insurance. Won't that be good? I want to talk to you about a glimpse of glory tonight. I want to preach you happy. I'm going to try with all my heart. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, and the Sabbath was passed. Mary Magdalene, I've been talking about the Christmas story here lately. But when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him, being Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, and rightfully so, because they're little bitty women, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre. A big, heavy stone, probably weighed several ton. I don't know what its weight was, but it was large. And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified." Hallelujah. He is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell the disciples and Peter. I like that. That tells me that though I was wayward, Jesus saved y'all and then he saved me too. Tell the disciples and Peter. I like that. That he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall you see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. In another narrative of that same thing, Mary Magdalene went running down the hill. I went I forget what they call it. Down in Eureka Springs, they had a passion play down there, and they had this, and the Mary Magdalene that was in that play was up on the hill. When she saw Jesus, and he told her to go tell the disciples, she took off running. I'm telling you, her knees were coming clear up by her head. She was running so fast, I thought, praise God, that's exactly the way it ought to be. I believe these ladies went away from there, amen, with joy in their heart. But here it says they were afraid. Now we go to Romans chapter 8, and I love the 8th chapter of Romans. Probably my favorite, well, it is my favorite verse in the Bible or chapter in the Bible. Therefore, brethren, we be debtors, or we are debtors. Chapter 8, verse 12. Not to the flesh to live after the flesh. we're debtors. Jesus paid a great price for us. And we can never repay it. We're debtors. We're debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, we'll die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father, hallelujah, glory to God. Abba, Father, which is an untranslated word from the Arabic, loosely translated would be my father or my daddy. But we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. If so be that we suffer together with him, that we may be also glorified. God bless America. Hallelujah. Amen. God's people need to have a view of life in the terms of eternity. We need to be looking beyond this world. I'm telling you, Christ has paved the way, and we need to be looking at heaven. We need to be living here on this earth as though we were already in heaven. We need to be separated from this world. Jesus said, come ye out from among them and be separate. People, we need to act like Christians. We need to act like children of God. We're heirs. We've been adopted by God. God has paid the price for us. He has bought us. We are his. We are adopted children of God. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Doesn't make us like Jesus. It makes us brothers to Jesus. It makes us adopted children of God. Hallelujah. We are heirs. We have an inheritance reserved in heaven, according to Peter, reserved in heaven that is there for us. It's undefiled, reserved, waiting for us. Glory to God. We are somebody. We dare not look only at this at life in this world. Ours is a life eternal. Ours is a life everlasting. We don't have to wait till we die to have everlasting life. We have it now. I want to tell you, if somebody said Leonard DeWitt's dead, you don't believe it, because I'm more alive then than I'll ever be again. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die. No, never. Hallelujah. Oh, and guess what? I'll be in heaven. Huh? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven. You don't belong here. You belong in heaven. Your citizenship's there. I heard one pastor, somebody asked him, said, What denomination are you? He said, Christian. They said, no. What church do you belong to? He said, all of them. My citizenship, John, is in heaven. We don't belong here. This is just a temporary place. We're like space travelers. We've landed here. We're here for a moment, but we're going on. This is not our home. We're going on. Amen. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things. We don't know what we're going to be like, but we know that when we see him, we'll see him as he is, and we will be like him. Pastor said we're going to be 33 and a half years old, and I believe that's probably right. Although I doubt if they measure years in heaven. But we will have a body of that nature. In the prime of our health, we'll be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Our hope rests on the return of Christ. You know, we hope. Paul said we're saved by hope. But not the hope like, boy, I hope my wife cooks a steak for me tonight at supper. Or I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. But we have a hope like faith It's faith in Jesus Christ. We have a hope that he's coming back again. We have a hope that he's going to take us to heaven. We have a hope that the dead arise Christ, rise first, and we which alive and remain will be caught up together to be with him in the air. Hallelujah. We have that hope. That's an eternal hope. Oh, glory Jesus. We have that hope. Our hope rests on the return of Jesus Christ. And on that day, we will see him as he is. We will be changed into his likeness. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, mortality will take on immortality. Come on, get excited about it. This is something to really be joyous about. Glory to God. If somebody gave you a good Christmas present, you'd go around bragging, look what I got for Christmas. Well, I want to tell you, you got the best Christmas present when Jesus Christ came to this world. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. We will never grow old. We'll never know sickness. We'll never know sorrow. Revelation 21 and 4, and God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Look what we have to get to gain. Look what we're leaving behind. Look what we're trading for a mansion. Our hope finds its basis on the resurrection of Christ. Paul said if Christ didn't arise, we would be of most people most miserable. Because our faith would be in vain. But Jesus rose from the dead again. And he ascended to the Father. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and gather you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, glory to God. He said, I'm coming again. I believe he's coming again, Dennis. I believe it may be before I get done preaching this message. And if he don't come tonight, I believe he's coming tomorrow. And if he don't come tomorrow, he's coming tomorrow night. I believe he's coming back. I base my entire life on that. I believe it. We will experience things more wonderful than we can ever comprehend. It will be so good. You know, people need hope. Everybody needs hope. Did you ever see someone who had lost all hope? They're the most miserable people that ever lived. But they have hope if they'll only realize it, hope in Jesus Christ. In this world, we have nothing that we can really count on, but with Jesus, we can put it in the bank. It's there. It's true. Without hope, life is meaningless. Romans 8:24 says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? Huh? If we could see something, then it's like I said, I hope my wife's going to cook me a beefsteak for supper tonight. Boy, that'd really be good. And she could fix me some French fries and some fried potatoes with that and some cornbread. But if she already had it cooked, then I wouldn't be able to hope for it. Right? We have a hope in Jesus Christ. He has promised he's coming back. And he is coming. If Christ is not risen, our faith is futile. And we are still in our sins. That's what Paul wrote. All gospel accounts. I'm shifting gears now. All gospel accounts begin with a visit to the tomb by the women. Their intent was to anoint the body of Jesus. They couldn't come on the Sabbath, which was from sunset Friday night until sunset Saturday night. They could not come, so obviously they waited and they prepared, and they regarded Jesus as dead. They had seen him die. They had been there at Calvary, and they'd saw him give up the ghost, and they'd saw his dead body taken down from that cross. And they had saw him wrapped in burial clothes and carried to the tomb and put into the tomb, and they went home. And they didn't have time to anoint his body and really, really do what they wanted to do for him at the time. And so they prepared and they came then on that Sunday morning. The two Marys knew that Jesus was dead. Mark 15:47 says Mary Magdalene and Mary, the other mother of Jesus, beheld where he was laid. You know, my hat goes off to the courage and the fortitude of these two young ladies. They came early in the morning before daylight into the city, and there were dead bodies walking around in the city. And if that wasn't bad enough, when they passed the temple, the veil was split from top to bottom, and the Holy of Holies was open for all the world to see. It was a death sentence to see inside the Holy of Holies. But Jesus Christ made a way so that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We can walk into the Holy of Holies before God. We can kneel down and begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. We can begin to tell Lord about our problems and He will answer our problems. Glory to God. It's open. It's open. It's open. I don't have to go to some priest and tell him what I want. I can go to the high priest and tell him, and he can answer my prayer, and he will. These two young ladies come very early in the morning, and it was scary, people. I'm telling you, it was scary. There was bad feelings about Christians about this time because they had killed Jesus. And they were looking for the others. The rest of the disciples had run and hid. They had locked the door and probably had the key stuffed away somewhere. They weren't walking around the streets, but these two ladies were. Thank God for the ladies. If we didn't have you ladies, we probably wouldn't have a church. I know I wouldn't be preaching the gospel today if it were not for that lady. She prayed for me, she encouraged me, she pushed me, not bad, but she urged me. And God got a hold of me. Thank God for the ladies. These ladies came through the dark, the scary place, and they went to the tomb. And as they walked, they thought, what are we going to do, that big old heavy stone? But we're trusting in God, we're going to go anyway. And so they went. And when they got there, hey, Mary, look. What, Mary? Mary, that stone has been moved. Look at it, it's rolled away. And so they walked up and they looked in the tomb. And here was a man in shining clothes seated where Jesus had laid. And he said to them, don't be afraid. He is risen. He is not here. He is gone. Tell the disciples and Peter that he has risen. He is alive forevermore. I want to tell you that when that body of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit came upon that body and life returned into that body, I want to tell you that Shekinah glory was in that tomb. Tell it would have blinded you had you been there when that stone was rolled back. Paul was blinded when he saw the glory of God on the road to Damascus. And he had great scales fall off of his eyes 3 days later. The glory of God. Moses said, I want to see you, Lord. God said, you can't see me, you'll die. But if you'll stand face in this cleft of the rock, I'll put my hand over you. And when I pass by, you can see my hinder parts after I'm gone. But if you look at me, you'll die. God is so good. God is so great. How big is God? But yet, He is small enough to love us. He has condescended to our level to love us. Jesus came to this world and lived like one of us. And He died for us individually. Not collectively, but even though that's true, but individually He died for each, because I believe when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. I believe that with all my heart. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary of Jesus beheld where they'd laid him. The women were greatly surprised to find the stone was rolled away when they entered into the tomb. Mark 16:5, and entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And Matthew 28:5, the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know whom thou seek, Jesus, which was crucified. Can you imagine Mary Magdalene as she turned to walk away and she saw Jesus and she said, hey, what have you done with the body of my Savior? If you'll tell me where he's at, I'll go and take care of him. And he turned around and he looked at her. He said, Mary. She said, Master. She recognized him. And she rushed to him and he said, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go and tell the disciples that I'm alive. Yeah. Oh, and they ran. She ran and told the disciples. And doubting Thomas wasn't there. And when he came back, they told him that they had seen Jesus. And he said, no, you didn't. I saw him dead. I know he's dead. Unless I see and put my hands into the cut in his side and I see the thorns, the holes in his palms, I'll not believe. And Jesus came and he said, Thomas, come here. Put your finger forth and feel it. Even Jesus knew. Hallelujah. He's alive, folks. Glory to God. He's alive. The angel had instructions for these two ladies. He said, go and tell the disciples and Peter. And so they went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to bring his disciples word. And Jesus became the first fruits of those who would rise from the dead. And in Romans 8, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the grave dwell in you, he will also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Because Jesus arose from the grave, we also will rise from the grave. Because Jesus is alive, people, we also will be alive. Because Jesus could do what he said he would do. He said, I will rise again on the third day. And he rose on the third day. And because he did that, you and I will come out of that grave. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll be with Jesus forevermore. Glory to his name. Our life is in the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. This is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit. He comes to dwell within us. He comes to abide within our body. And we are directed, we are led, we are corrected by the Holy Spirit of God. You know, God thought it, salvation. God thought it. And Jesus bought it, but the Holy Spirit wrought it. He caused it to come to pass. He is the one. He is the action member of the Trinity. He is the one that does the doing of God's will. And he lives within your heart, along with the Father and the Son. But we have the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:12, and I read it to you, brethren, we are debtors unto the flesh, not debtors to live into the flesh. After the flesh, for if we left after the flesh, we'll die. But if we, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. If we, through the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Jesus died and was a resurrection. So, believers die and are raised to new life in him. Amen. Death's not anything to be afraid of, people. And I honestly say this to the best of my abilities, to the best of my knowledge within my heart, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid of it. As a matter of fact, I welcome it. Now, I don't have a death wish. I've told you that before. But I do want to go to heaven. I want to be with Jesus. I'm anxious to be there. Because I know that if I die, in that second, I'll be in the presence of God. There will be no transition. It's just, boom, I'm there. And that's where I want to be. I want to be with Jesus. I want to live with Him. Paul makes it clear. We're not obligated to any carnal nature here in this world. We know the penalty for living carnally, but if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, Pastor talked about that this morning, we need to put them away, we need to stop doing them, we need to come out from among them, be a separate person, we need to mortify the flesh, we need to put away the bad deeds of the body, and we need to live for Jesus Christ because we have a reward in heaven. That's reserved for us. Resurrection power is not experienced necessarily after death. It's experienced now. We have that resurrection power within us. God's people experience it now in this life, once dead in sin, but now they've been resurrected into a new life. If any man be in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm a new creation. I'm a new person. That old man that I was so many years ago, that was such a dirty guy, I'm a nice guy now. I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm not nice because of anything that I do, but because of what Christ did.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Once dead in sin, now alive in Christ. Such is the miracle of salvation in Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
In Christ, we are heirs of God. Oh, I read it to you before. But if we have not received the spirit of bondage, for we have received not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of God, the spirit of adoption. Notice that it's the Holy Spirit is called the spirit of adoption. And when we receive that spirit of adoption, what does that do? That makes us adopted children of Almighty God. Almighty God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again or you'll not see the kingdom of God. I want to tell you, when you receive the spirit of adoption within you, you see the spirit, you see this, the kingdom of God because you are a child of God. You understand that you become then somebody. You're a royal priesthood. You're a peculiar people. You're a special people. You're born again. We have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, if so be that we suffer together with him, that we may be also glorified. I don't like that part where it says suffer, brother. But we may have to suffer. I don't know why. But if my Jesus suffered, then who am I to say I'm not going to suffer? It may happen. Somebody said, why do little babies have things happen to them? I don't know. I don't know. We're in this world. We're not of this world, but we're in this world. And as long as we're in this world, bad things are going to happen. Why has a lady asked me to pray for her sister because her husband has Alzheimer's, really, really bad, and she's trying to take care of him at home, but now he's got Parkinson's disease on top of that. I want to tell you, I don't know why these things happen, but I know that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. I know that when we leave this world, we're going to see heaven in all of its glory. I know that we'll see the New Jerusalem. I know that we'll see that city 144 miles square, and God is the light of it. There won't be any sun or moon or stars to shine because God will be the light. We will see it. We will live in it. We will walk in and out of it. That's what we have to look forward to. I want you to be excited about that. Through the Holy Spirit, we become members of God's family. Thereby, we can come into Him and as our loving Heavenly Father. You know, the Roman society knew what it was to be adopted because they had a lot of children that were adopted within their society. Such a child received all the rights of the birth child. I adopted 3 children in my life, and those children grew up in my household, and they have all the rights and benefits of my family. They have equal rights with the rest of the children. There is no different because they're mine. I want to tell you, I belong to God, and I have all those rights and benefits that everybody else has because I'm His. He has bought me. He has gone to court, if you will, and the judge rapped the gavel and says, "It's past. He's yours." And Jesus said, "You're mine, buddy. Come on. Let's walk together." Isn't that wonderful? We receive all the rights of His only begotten Son. God is so good. God is so good. I don't know where to end this thing. Just to tell you, God is good. Amen.
Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message, and in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.